Bhagavad Gita as it is, from the 10th chapter, entitled The Opulence of the Absolute. Text number 9. Madchita madkata prana
Madchita madkata prana
Budhyanta parasparam
Budhyanta parasparam
Katayantas chamam nityam
Katayantas chamam nityam
Tushyanti cha ramanti cha. Translation. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. Their lives are surrendered to me, and they derive great bliss, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss enlightening one another in conversing about me. Purport. Pure devotees whose characteristics are mentioned here engage themselves fully in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. Their minds cannot be diverted from the lotus feet of Krishna. Their talks are solely on the transcendental subjects. The symptoms of the pure devotees are described in this verse specifically. Devotees of the Supreme Lord are 24 hours daily engaged in glorifying the pastimes of the Supreme Lord. Their hearts and souls are constantly submerged in Krishna, and they take pleasure in discussing him with other devotees. So, today is the same constellation of stars as there was approximately 1 million years ago. And at the time when Lord Ramachandra appeared. Every year, the stars are sort of passing through the same constellation, and that particular moment is known as the moment of the appearance of Lord Ramachandra. The actual time is about sunset. I can't really see if there's anything setting out there, but it must be about now. And really, the sun must be sort of either just set or still setting. So this is a special moment. 1 million years ago, Lord Ramachandra appeared. Basically, we're spending a whole weekend commemorating Lord Ramachandra. And of course, culminating in a program on Sunday. So tonight, we will not get into full detail of the appearance of Lord Ramachandra. But something has to be there, at least from my side, otherwise I sort of feel like, well, yeah. How can I not say something about Lord Ramachandra? I chose this verse from the Bhagavad Gita, which mentions that devotees are always relishing discussions about Krishna, somehow or other. So we're always looking for an excuse to talk about Krishna, and today we found an excuse to speak about Lord Ramachandra, who is none other than Krishna himself. He's the very same Krishna. Ramadi Murtisu Niyamena Tista. He's that same Supreme Krishna. Dipachayivi Dasantramavi Pecha Dipayate Vritahinu Samana Dharma. He's the same Supreme Lord, but the Lord is Advaitam Achyutam Anadim Ananta Rupam. He takes unlimited forms. So when the Lord appears in that form of Lord Ramachandra, then he comes into this world as a teacher, particularly as a teacher to mankind, to teach mankind by perfect example of what saintly behavior really is all about, of what saintly behavior without any form of compromise is all about. So that's not easy. Because there are always these kind of circumstances, you know, the so-called white lie, right? And white lies are good lies, isn't it? They are necessary lies. So here we are entering deeply into ethics, the very fact that something exists like white lies, that we will not find no whitewashing in Lord Ramachandra's life. We will not find any adjustment of the principles of saintly behavior for the sake of convenience and personal profit or gain. No. Lord Ramachandra was ready to sacrifice anything. No lie. No lies. No, simply dedicated to pure pure devotional behavior. So Lord Ramachandra stands like an emblem. So much so that even after a million years now since he was on the planet, still so vivid in the memory of everyone, is Lord Ramachandra. So much alive in India today, we can see that he's still the most popular deity in all of India, without any doubt about it. That showed when in India some years back the Ramayana was aired on television. Everyone bought televisions. When Parliament was in session during a broadcast of the Ramayana, they would suspend the government. Everyone watched the Ramayana. When trains were riding during the Ramayana, people would pull the emergency brake and they would all get off the train and find a television somewhere and would sit down. And when in the village, the local district authorities turned off the electricity, right, which they do in India from time to time, turned it off during the Ramayana, the villagers came and burned down the powerhouse. The Ramayana was definitely there to win. Also in our temples, we were watching the Ramayana. Everyone was watching the Ramayana. What shall we say? So in this way, Lord Ramachandra, by far the most popular personality in the entire history of India, because of his extraordinary example. Because we are preparing for a celebration of his appearance day on Sunday, I want to speak tonight about his devotee. Because it is said in the scriptures, mat bhakti puja vyadika, that one must first worship the devotee of the Lord. So by worshipping the devotee of the Lord, one can approach the Lord. So in this way, we go to the devotee. The great devotee of Lord Ramachandra is undoubtedly Hanuman, and therefore I will begin to speak something about Hanuman today. And I chose the Brihat Bhagavatamrita of Sanatana Goswami as my approach to Hanuman, because it is very nice. In the Brihat Bhagavatamrita, in the first part, there's a description of Narada Muni, looking for the devotee who is the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord. And he is looking which devotee is receiving the greatest mercy of the Lord. It begins that he finds a Brahmana who on the plains of Prayag. Prayag is now known as Allahabad in India, and that is where the Kumbh Mela is being celebrated, where the three rivers are coming together, Ganga, Yamuna, and Saraswati underground. And there in the Triveni, people are taking their bath. And there on the banks of the three rivers, one Brahmana was performing an amazing puja. And just out there in the fields with so much opulence and so many arrangements, and he had built a canopy out of cloth and a whole altar and such a nice offering, Narada personally came and said, "Oh, you are the greatest devotee of the Lord. You are the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord. Helena was shocked. I mean, here comes Narada out of nowhere, paying obeisances and everything, and it's like, you know, to him, an ordinary brahmana, so what, we fell on the ground as well and said, my dear Narada, please, please, don't look at it like that. Just maybe I'm doing some puja, but consider that I'm trying, but it is not really very much. If you think about what is going on, he said, like in South India, there is a king, and this king is engaging his entire country in the worship of the Lord. And due to his arrangements, the whole country is worshiping, and there are like all kinds of places and guest facilities where devotees can come, and the whole country is just a place of worship. He said, if you compare what I'm doing to what that king is doing, I'm doing nothing. And Narada was already getting ecstatic to hear about that king and said, oh, that, who is that king? I want to meet that king. And next moment, Narada, who can travel through outer space, was already on his way to South India. So Narada at one point continues and comes to Prahlad. Oh, where is a devotee like Prahlad? I mean, do you realize that Prahlad, nothing could ever distract the mind of Prahlad? Prahlad was always remaining fixed on the Supreme Lord, even in difficulty. It is said that at one point Hiranyakasipu, his father, who didn't like it that Prahlad was becoming a devotee and showing interest in Krishna and so on, therefore his father took action against him and decided that it was time to remove this poisonous element from his family, just as a rotten tooth has to be pulled out. It's a little painful, but it must be done. Therefore, he decided that Prahlad needed to be eliminated, and tried various means to do so, and one of them was to throw Prahlad in a pit with snakes, which, you know, Prahlad passed that test of being in the pit with snakes in an amazing way, because Prahlad was never for a moment distracted. Never for a moment was Prahlad distracted from remembering the Supreme Lord. Now, any of us might also remember Krishna when we are in a pit of snakes, but our mood might be a little different than the one of Prahlad. We might also be chanting, but probably out of total fear. Something like that. I have that experience myself, that I was once on a tiny little plane which had a nickname, the Cigar. And I was on the Cigar flying, and the thing, it got bad weather. And that plane, boy, it was thrown to the sky like anything. And it was a 1 hour flight, and I chanted 16 rounds in 1 hour. I never did that again, but I did on that plane, 16 rounds in 1 hour. I mean, I was so scared. But Prahlad was transcendental. Prahlad was not affected. Prahlad, and therefore, Prahlad left it entirely, his destiny, entirely upon the Supreme Lord. If he was meant to die by snake bite, then let it be so. That is the desire of my Lord. Then his father tried other means. He had his son thrown off a cliff. But below, the earth caught Prahlad and said, and the earth, after putting Prahlad down softly, the earth goddess was just delighted by having touched the great devotee Prahlad. In this way, Prahlad was being worshipped. In this way, Prahlad was undoubtedly the greatest devotee. And Narada had come to Prahlad. And Narada said, oh, you are the greatest devotee. Oh, my dear Prahlad, please accept my humble obeisances, Prahlad.
covered his ears and said,
"How can you say so? How can you say that I am the greatest devotee?" He said that, "Look, yes, yes, it is true that the Supreme Lord, in his causeless mercy, appeared. I did get some mercy of the Lord. He appeared. But he appeared only for a moment. He appeared, killed my father, Hiranyakasipu, and when it was over, he disappeared again. So it was just a very short moment, actually. For a short moment, he was still there, angry, and then he left. And I just hardly saw him. I was so shocked. I was so shocked by the whole experience that he suddenly appeared from the pillar. I didn't even fully register his appearance, and then he was already gone." Said, like in this way, "No, you cannot truly say that I am the one who is the recipient of the most mercy of the Lord. Look at the Pandavas. The Pandavas, oh yes, the Pandavas, they were so close to Krishna. Practically, they were friends with Krishna. Krishna was acting as their servant, their messenger. Krishna was acting as the chariot driver of Arjuna. He would sleep with Arjuna on the same bed. See the Pandavas. Who was closer than the Pandavas to Krishna? They were the real recipients of the mercy of Krishna." And Narada, as he's hearing about the Pandavas, is getting ecstatic and he started, he couldn't control himself, and he started dancing, hearing the glories of the Pandavas. And Hanuman, seeing Narada dancing, became also ecstatic and started to sing the glories of the Pandavas. And Narada danced even more and then Narada's ecstasy went up, and Hanuman's ecstasy went up, and the Pandavas, and then suddenly Narada said, let's go and meet the Pandavas. And he was thinking of Dwarka, because the Pandavas, they are moving around between Hastinapur and Dwarka, and Narada, he loves Dwarka. So he was just thinking, yes, let us go and meet the Pandavas, yes. And Hanuman said, yes, let's meet the Pandavas. And they were going to meet the Pandavas, and then Hanuman said, "Wait a minute, I can't go to meet the Pandavas." And Narada said, "Why not? Why you cannot meet the Pandavas?" He said, No, I cannot go there. No. Narada said, "Well, come on, why not?" He said, No. He said, "The Pandavas, they are very careless in their relation with the Supreme Lord. They are just acting with him in a very casual way." He said, "I can't do that. I'm a monkey. I have to be careful. I have to keep formal standards in dealing with my Lord. And I cannot just lie with him on the same bed. The bed of my Lord is worshipable. I offer puja to that bed. How could I ever lie in it? I mean, how could I be with the Pandavas who are so careless like that? Oh no, I can't go there. No, I can't go there. No." So in this way, Hanuman refused to go. He could not go, because his mood was different. His mood was the mood of a servant. Kapipatir dasyam. Kapipatir, the leader of all the monkeys. He was a servant. The embodiment of service. Hanuman is always serving. That is his whole being, somehow or other, to serve the Supreme Lord. Said Hanuman is the best carrier of the Lord, better than Garuda, because his back, his broad back, is very soft. It has a nice soft seating place on it. And because, after all, Lord Ramachandra is a king. He is a king, not an ordinary person. And only kings, and kings only, can have white umbrellas. Nobody else. And Vishnu. Right? So white umbrellas are reserved for either the Lord or the representative of the Lord. So Hanuman, making a nice soft seat on his back for the Lord, with his tail, makes a nice white umbrella for the Lord with his white tail. In this way, who is a greater servant than Hanuman? who serves the Lord in any possible menial way, always, always contemplating on that. Hanuman pointed out that he was not at all the recipient of the Lord's mercy. Because Hanuman pointed out that, like, when Lord Ramachandra left this planet, he took everyone with him. Even Sugriva, he took him. He took him. He took him to the spiritual world. He said, but I couldn't come. I couldn't come. I had to stay here. And yes, I was not qualified to go, Hanuman said. I had to stay back, you see. Therefore, I'm not at all the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord. I had to stay behind. And of course, we are worshipping the Lord as good as we can here in King Purusha-varsha, which is one of the islands of Jambudvip, where Hanuman is still residing today and worshipping Lord Ramachandra. All the other residents of Ayodhya, every single one of them, every single one of them went back to the spiritual world. Only I had to stay behind. How can one say that I'm the greatest recipient of the mercy of the Lord? So, in this way, we are contemplating for a moment the attitude of the Vaishnava, who is never seeing himself as exalted, although everyone else is seeing him as the greatest personality. Hanuman, we cannot think of Hanuman for a moment not thinking about Ramachandra. Always, always, constantly. The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. The thoughts of Hanuman dwelt only in Lord Ramachandra. His life, and their lives are surrendered to me. His life was only surrendered to Lord Ramachandra. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss, enlightening one another and conversing about me. And in this way, Hanuman and Narada were just increasing each other's ecstasy. It is said that actually once Hanuman did come to Dwarka. Hanuman did come to Dwarka. And at that point, Krishna was hiding all his queens except Rukmini. And he made Rukmini appear like Sita. And suddenly he himself became green like Lord Ramachandra. Right? And in this way, he manifested the full court of Lord Ramachandra. So when Hanuman came to Dwarka, it had transformed into Ayodhya. And there was Lord Ramachandra. In this way, Hanuman didn't mind to come to Dwarka. Then it was okay to be in Dwarka. If Lord Ramachandra was there. Otherwise, no. I could not go there to Dwarka, to such a place. No. That was Hanuman. Hanuman could never, ever, for a moment, give up his faithfulness to Lord Ramachandra. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, Hanuman also appears. He is there. And he is none other than Murari Gupta, who is a little older than Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And Nimai, being such a scholar, is always defeating Murari. And Murari is very learned. And every day there is a philosophical debate. And Murari really gives many answers and argues back for quite a while. And then, but Nimai defeats him always in the end. And then and says, so, go back to your studies. You know, learn your lessons again, you know. He still didn't quite get it, you know. And then Murari tries again, you know, to argue with him. So in this way, Murari has that relationship. Later, when Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has revealed himself as the Supreme Personality of Godhead and is involved in pastimes with his devotees, one day he calls Murari and he tells Murari, why are you worshipping Lord Ramachandra? You should worship Krishna. Because he is Adi Purusha, he is the original Purusha. All the other forms are only expansions of Krishna. And the original form is Krishna, therefore you should worship Krishna. You should give up the worship of Ram. That night, Murari Gupta could not sleep. That night, the whole night, he tried. And then in the morning, he just fell at the feet of Lord Chaitanya. And he said that, I cannot give up my Lord Ramachandra, but I can also not deny your order. Therefore, let me die right now. Let me give up my life. Then Lord Chaitanya picked him up and he wrote Ramdas with his finger on his forehead. And he said, yes, you are the servant of Lord Ramachandra. You are Hanuman. So even when Hanuman appeared in the pastimes of Lord Ramachandra, in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya, he did not change his devotion to Lord Ramachandra. Nothing changed in Hanuman. Hanuman was 100% dedicated to Lord Ramachandra. So in approaching the Supreme Lord, we're looking at such devotees because it is to devotees like Hanuman who are completely dedicated that one can also develop some desire in the heart. It is described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu from Srila Rupa Goswami that in the association of a great Vaishnava, one can develop chaya bhav, or the shadow reflection of the ecstasy of that devotee. So in the association of a great exalted devotee, one experiences such ecstasy, and suddenly everything becomes magic. Everything becomes totally mystified and spiritual. Many in the presence of Srila Prabhupada also experience that. Right? Like sometimes we've heard it said that wherever Prabhupada was, there was the center of the universe. Right? Wherever he was, that was the place where it was happening. And right? Didn't matter where it was on earth, that was where it was happening. And everyone wanted to just be there, and it was just from magic moments. Surcharged with amazing energy. So the pure devotees, they can uplift us in consciousness and in that association one can see. It is as if dimensions are opened, right? As if veils are lifted, as if suddenly one is experiencing Krishna in a way that normally we don't. Right? Normally it's like, Krishna, I know. He's the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yeah, he is. That's really nice. I like the comics. Recently I stayed in some house where they have a small kid and the kid wants the whole day to watch little Krishna on a big TV. Wasn't bad. I've never seen someone's little Krishna. That was kind of quite nice. So that is our good fortune. when we can just hear about Krishna. But we cannot fully appreciate. But in the association of a great devotee, we can. We can appreciate more and experience more. So, therefore, it even works. It even works when one invokes the remembrance of such a devotee. Not only just when we are with Hanuman, but just remembering Hanuman. So just remembering Hanuman's service attitude and Hanuman's amazing personality, gradually we also, something can awaken, chayabhav, a reflection, not the same level of ecstasy that Hanuman experienced, but some reflection thereof, some shadow thereof. And it is said that in prolonged association with a pure devotee, that temporary shadow can even become permanent. And in this way, by the association of a pure devotee, one can just be lifted up very quickly. The other day we were talking about how in the association of a pure devotee, one is elevated very quickly. And Prabhupada gives that example of going step by step by the staircase or going very quickly by the elevator. And then when we go up, so the spiritual master or the pure devotee can very quickly take us up many stories, which otherwise would be a long, long walk. So he takes us up very quickly, and by prolonged association, we can maintain that more exalted way of life and that more exalted outlook and vision. So therefore, penetrating into discussions about the lives of great devotees is very important. So yes, the basis of devotional service is servitorship, dasyam, to just always act as a servant. Sarvopadi vinirmuktam tatparatvena nirmalam risikena risikesa sevanam bhakti uchite. And to be a servant means not to satisfy one's own senses, not to satisfy one's own mind, but to satisfy the mind and the senses of Krishna and his representative. And if we could only do so, and practice that, then everything, then we would be transformed. So, therefore, Ram Navami is a time when we approach Lord Ramachandra. And we are approaching Lord Ramachandra through Hanuman, that means in the mood of a servant. Therefore, In hearing the various pastimes of the Ramayana, which we will be discussing over this weekend, then we can think about what is pleasing to Lord Ramachandra, what was his purpose, what was his aim, because being in the mood of servant, one must understand what is the purpose. What is the purpose of the Lord? What is the purpose of Krishna? If we are servant, not what is our purpose. What is my purpose is I want to become spiritually elevated. I want to become free from bad karma. I want to become ecstatic. I want to be always healthy, wealthy, beautiful, and attractive, and very intelligent, and have many followers, and live on the heavenly planets, which preferably descend to Earth, because I don't really want to give up Earth either, since I'm attached to this place. So, if I could get all that in exchange for some devotional service, not too much, please, but just a little, that would be a good start. And then at the end of a very long life like that, I want to go straight back to Godhead without any pain. I please want to leave my body without any pain whatsoever. Painless death,
yes, if possible.
And a pleasant one also, surrounded by loving friends on one side, and also at the same time on the other side already, you know. So as soon as I get out of this body, they hug me on the other side. So
the whole
thing is not too much. Something like that would be nice, if possible, in exchange for not too much devotion service, please. You know? I mean, really, it's very austere, you know, to be a servant. But to become a real servant, to become like a servant who just puts all personal agenda aside and starts to contemplate, what is the purpose? What is the purpose of Lord Ramachandra? All right, Lord Ramachandra was establishing the principles of goodness in this world. And the principles of goodness include the worship of the Supreme Lord. So Lord Ramachandra was establishing that principle is first, before anything. Yes, duty first, before anything. Yes. Prescribed duty, always preference before personal desire. The only personal desire he ever showed was to execute duty. Of course, we see some conflicts in him. We see some conflicts in his life. Some moments, when he was asked to go to the forest, it was not a problem because he was not attached to the kingdom. So when they asked him the day before his coronation to go to the forest, all right, let's go, no problem. He was not affected by that. It didn't touch him at all because he was totally detached from the kingdom. But when it came to Sita, it was different because there he was attached. Sometimes even described as henpecked and very overly attached, right? Overly attached to his wife, very much so. So there, Lord Ramachandra was encountering dilemmas, dilemmas where he had to sometimes put the principles of dharma or of religious duty before personal desire.
And we'll see that
in the Ramayana. So that is there. So yeah, that's obvious then if Ramachandra displayed that, that is also our purpose then. That the servant has to put the same values in high esteem as the master. Otherwise, how are we a servant? A servant that maintains different values than the values of the master is not a servant, is a hypocrite. Such a servant is not a real servant. Such a servant who has a personal agenda is simply in his worship of the master motivated. That came out in Kaikeyi, who served Dasarath so nicely and so dedicatedly that Dasarath thought this beautiful princess is totally surrendered unto me in full dedication. I love her. I love anybody who is totally surrendered unto me in full dedication. She became his favorite queen. But it turned out that she was not so surrendered to him after all. And that she actually had a personal agenda. And then at one point she started pushing that personal agenda. And then Dasarath could not believe it. Okay? Felt as if he was bitten by a snake. Yes. So, like this, such things are there. So, a true servant has the same values as the master. So, therefore, we begin to contemplate what is the purpose of Lord Ramachandra? What was his aim? Raghupati Raghava Raja Ram Patita Pava Sitaram. It is there. On the ceiling. And Patita Pavan, it is interesting that Lord Ramachandra is already known as Patitapavan, the deliverer of the fallen. We're seeing that in Lord Chaitanya, and we understand it of Lord Chaitanya. But how also in Lord Ramachandra? But after all, Lord Ramachandra is dealing with monkeys. He's dealing with personalities who are not exactly dharmic. Right? It's interesting how these monkey associates of Lord Ramachandra, they are not ordinary personalities because they come from celestial fathers, and therefore they are very powerful monkeys. But at the same time, they also are monkeys. So they also get into monkey business sometimes. For example, when they come back from South India and they have found Sita, they come back and they go into the favorite garden, which is very rich in delicious fruits and all kinds of ecstatic things belonging to Sugriva, the king. And they go into that garden and they just eat all the fruits and destroy the garden, as monkeys do. Right? They go berserk. They get intoxicated on the fruit. They are bouncing around in the branches and just break them and just throw each other around in the trees and just make ravaging the whole garden like in a sort of an ecstatic orgy of just taking all that fruit and so on. And the royal guard comes to Sugriva and saying, the monkeys, they are just plundering the garden. They're plundering the garden. What shall we do? Shall we bring the army in and kill them all? And the king said, no, it's all right. They would have never dared to do such a thing unless they found Sita. I'm sure they have found Sita. So we see how these monkey traits are coming out at times. And Patitapava, Sitaram. So Sarup Maharaj, he did a tremendous work in writing about the life of Srila Prabhupada, right? And did so much work for us. And he wrote, besides the Lilamrita, he also wrote a shorter version in poetry, right? And with many poems about Prabhupada's preaching. And then he writes in that poetry, he writes how he said, yes. He said, Lord Ramachandra, when Lord Ramachandra went to Lanka, he had an army of monkeys, whereas Prabhupada had to do it with hippies from the Lower East Side. That was really something, you know. So yes, Patitapavan, is bestowing his mercy upon those monkeys, but then see Prabhupada, who bestowed mercy upon the hippies of the Lower East Side. And, you know, and since the days of the Lower East Side, it has spread all over the world, and which was once the most hidden secret for the in crowd, has now become commonplace, right? Now everyone has become that the great, it's become the norm. It's become normal, standard, nothing unusual. It's very rare to find someone who's never smoked dope. You know, maybe there are. Some around. I'm not not talking about older people, right? But, you know, maybe there are some younger people who really never smoked the weed. But otherwise, you know, it's hard to believe. It's become the norm. It's sort of, yeah, it's a standard thing in life. Nobody even blinks about it. It's just part of life. Yeah. Anything else? What's on the other channel? Yeah. No one talks about it anymore.
So,
but once, this was the activity, the most hidden. This is the activity of the in crowd. I remember in my school there was one guy with a bowler hat and a briefcase. Very bad coming. He was a bad guy. He had a heart like ice. He was a demon. Yes. Selling drugs for money. No good. Demons. I like that. So we see how Prabhupada came to the Lower East Side. Patita Pavan. The deliverer of the most fallen. That same spirit as Lord Ramachandra. Give it to the monkeys, yes. Give it to the hippies. When I was in Amsterdam and everyone was in the Vondelpark, me too. And when Prabhupada came there, he saw those hippies. He might have seen me too. And he said, these people only kirtan and prasad. With kirtan and prasadam, and then a little bit of philosophy, somehow or other, even the monkeys, even the fallen souls, can be uplifted. That is the mercy of the Lord. So that's another thing we're contemplating this weekend, mercy. Thinking about mercy. There is mercy. It's not all about qualification. Spiritual life is not all about us, you know. How much are we able to change ourselves? No, it is all. There's mercy. There's a lot. So the focus is a lot on that too, on the mercy of the Lord. But not cheap. A price must be paid. And how cheap it is given at the end of the day is not up to the purchaser, but to the seller. And the seller decides how much discount he gives. The purchaser can only bargain. So we are only trying to purchase. Therefore, we have nothing to say about the price. It's the seller, it is the Supreme Lord that will decide how much he will lower the price. We can only try. So meanwhile, let us get the maximum credit so that we have enough and the price doesn't come down too much, knowing that it will come down anyway at the end of the day. In this way, this weekend we can contemplate that mercy of Lord Ramachandra, that mercy of his devotees, the mercy of Sita. The mercy of Sita I will mention today also. I like that story. Some of you may know, some of you may not know. But it is the story that at the very end, after the battle in Lanka has been completed, there is Sita. She is in the Ashoka Grove. And just then, Hanuman appears before her. And Sita says, "Oh no, Ravana, what are you doing now? Now you disguised yourself as a monkey." And Hanuman says, "No, No, I'm not Brahma. Come, the battle is over, Sita. The battle is fought. Meanwhile, there were these Rakshasis who were torturing Sita and harassing Sita, and so on. You know, it's on the order of Ravana. So when Hanuman comes, he says, look, the whole Ravana's army has been killed. It's finished. And I'll just kill these few Rakshasis also. And then Sita says, no, Hanuman, no. No, don't kill them. And Hanuman says, no, it's nothing for me. I'll kill them just in a snap. It's nothing, you know, nothing. I'll just kill them, no problem. That's nothing, you know. Nothing for me, I can kill a few. And then Sita tells the story. And Sita tells the story and she says, you know, once there was a hunter who was going through the forest. And this hunter in the forest was killing many animals. It's like suffering so much. Then suddenly the hunter, he came upon a bush and there was a tiger. And suddenly the roles got reversed. Suddenly the hunter wasn't hunting, the tiger wasn't hunting. He was hunting and the hunter was running and running and running for his life with the tiger on his heel. Then the hunter, he saw a tree, and somehow or other a tree. He climbed up the tree and he was up the tree only to find that up in the tree there was a bear. And he looked from the bear to the tiger and the tiger to the bear. Then the tiger began to speak. And the tiger said to the bear, he said, you see that man? He is a hunter. He is our mutual enemy. If you kick him down, I will eat him and finish him off. No, the bear said, no, I cannot do that. He came to my home, he is my guest, it is my duty to give him shelter. No, I cannot do that. Then the tiger says to the hunter, he says, you see that bear? If you kick down that bear, then I will eat him instead of you. The hunter didn't hesitate for a moment. He gave that bear the kick of his life. And before the bear knew, he was falling down the tree. But somehow or other, at the bottom branch, he was hanging on that branch. And somehow or other, he managed to climb back up. Then the tiger began to speak to the bear and said, you see that hunter. You see what a treacherous man he is. You gave him shelter. And how did he treat you? He kicked you down. Kick him down now before he does it again. Kick down that hunter now. No, the bear said. The fact that he misbehaved doesn't justify that I will misbehave. He's still a guest in my home, and it's still my duty to give him shelter. So, and therefore, Hanuman, you cannot kill these Rakshasis, Sita said. The fact that they misbehave doesn't justify our misbehavior. All glories to the noble bear from the Ramayana, and all glories to Hanuman, and all glories to Lord Ramachandra, and all glories to all of you. And are there any questions or comments? Please.
You were saying that Hanuman said that Ramachandra went back and all the devotees and everybody went back. Did he stay? Why did he stay?
He was ordered. Lord Ramachandra wouldn't take him. It says in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, he said, Lord Ramachandra told me to stay behind. He wouldn't take me. So upon the order of the Lord, he had to stay. He said, see, I was not qualified. He treated me nicely and friendly. He said, no, I have an important service for you. You please stay here. But the truth of the matter is that he didn't want me there. I would not stay.
Okay.
hours. Maybe Lord Alachandra really gave him an important service. And was it part of his mercy that he kept his best man in this world to be his representative? Although Hanuman himself experienced it as the greatest austerity, still he was Lord Ramachandra's best man. And who else but his best man could he send to do the most difficult work, to be his representative? Just as Krishna sent Srila Prabhupada. Bhavananda tells us the story that one day Prabhupada, when he was in the spiritual world, in whatever form he was, that one day Krishna came, and that Krishna said, I want you to go to the material world. And then Prabhupada said, oh no, I don't like austerity, no, I don't want to go. And then Krishna said, no, it is no problem. All you have to do is write books, and I will do the rest. So Krishna sends his best man. So he had to send Hanuman. Ramachandra had to send Hanuman. Krishna sent Prabhupada. Sent his best man.
I got a question yesterday, who was Valmiki, and when was Ramayana written down? I couldn't really answer that question.
Valmiki was a criminal. Yeah, Valmiki was a gunda who lived of crime. And then one day he met Narada, and Narada Muni asked him, and he said he asked him how he was maintaining himself, and he said he's maintaining his family from crime. And then Narada said, well, do you realize that you are getting all kinds of karmic reactions for that? He said, well, what can I do? I have to maintain my family, and you know, it's just the way it is. And then Narada said, well, do you think that your family is prepared to share in the reactions of your sinful activities? He said, of course, they're sharing in the fruits of it. Narada said, ask your wife. So he asked his wife. And then the wife said, no, sharing in the sinful reactions for all these activities all these crimes that you... No. No, we are not sharing in that. No. See, it is your duty to maintain us. That's your duty. And how you do it, that's your business. No, you will not take any of the reactions for your sinful activities. That's your business. You take them. So then he was shocked. So then Narada came back and said, so, are they ready to share? Said, no. So then he got him to renounce, and he renounced. And then he asked him to chant the name of Ram. But he couldn't chant the name of Ram. So finally, Narada asked him to say the word Mara, very quick. Mara. And then, you know, if you say it, repeat it fast enough, it doesn't matter if you say Rama, 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 Rama. It comes to the same. So in this way, he was chanting the name of Ram. And then he became a great realized. So then it said that after the whole battle in Lanka and everything was over, at one point Sita was finally asked to leave. Right? Why is not story for Sunday? And then her sons were being taught the Ramayana, the story of Ram, by the sage of Valmiki, in whose ashram she took shelter. And then his sons, Lav and Kush, they begin to sing the Ramayana everywhere. And in this way, the Ramayana took birth.
We understand that Hanuman is the best devotee of Ramchandra. And it's also not discussed much, but he's also an expansion of Rudra, or Shiva.
Mm-hmm.
So Shiva is also the best devotee of Lord Krishna.
Mm-hmm.
And we also see how Ramchandra, as part of the pastimes of the Ramayana, worshipped Lord Shiva at Rameshwaram.
Mm-hmm.
So we see this interaction of love between Krishna and his devotee and the devotee and Krishna, where they serve and worship each other.
Yeah.
Could you elaborate a little bit on that? How that works with the Ramayana, with Hanuman and Ramchandra?
Well, this interaction, yes, it is true that that the devotee does worship the Lord, and the Lord also worships his devotee. Shiva Tattva is a mysterious tattva because it begins as an expansion of Lord Vishnu. Lord Sadashiva is actually Vishnu Tattva, a direct expansion of Mahavishnu, and then transforms Tata Yada Vida Yatada Divikara Vichesa Yogat. The Vikara takes place, a transformation, and then when Sadashiva comes in as Shambhu comes in contact with the material energy, then a transformation takes place and Rudra appears. So so Lord Shiva is not an ordinary personality, and at the same time always worshipping the Lord. Sada Shiva is worshipping Lord Sankarsana. So always in that mood of worship as Sada Shiva, and also as Rudra, in that mood of worship. So we see that the Lord expands himself, the Lord worships himself, the Lord worships his devotees. That is the nature of the spiritual world. That everybody is expressing his love through worship and appreciation. Spiritual relationships are not casual. From, geez, you know, we're all sitting in the same room. Gosh, it's back to you. Well, it's my neighbor. No. Spiritual relationships are very deep because there is deep appreciation. That appreciation is expressed in worship. And therefore, worship is part of love. Right? It's part of loving exchange. It's not just here. Our worship is oftentimes a formality. You know, we're like formally worshiping the deity because we are formally trying to reconnect to the deity. But in the spiritual world, worship is an expression of love and appreciation, and naturally worship. So it is nice that worship, therefore the devotees worship the Lord and the devotees, and the Lord worship the devotees. A natural expression of love between the Lord and his devotees. Mm. We have come to a point where we take a little break and we'll continue again tomorrow. Thank you very much. Lord Ramachandra ki jai. Sri Ram Mahamahotsava ki jai.